Many of you might remember that last week we reflected on the theological virtue of faith, and we were encouraged to make frequent acts of faith inspired by the faith of Abraham that we read about in chapter 11 of St. Paul's letter to the Hebrews. I don't know if any of you had the opportunity last week to go back and read Hebrews chapter 11, but there is so much more to chapter 11 than we read at Mass last Sunday. Last Sunday, we stopped after verse 19, but the church left out 20 verses. Verses 20 through 40 about the faith of Isaac, Jacob, Joseph, Moses, and the ancient Israelites. The church decided for some reason that we didn't need to hear about the faith of Rahab and Gideon and Barak and Samson and Jephthah and David and Samuel. Unfortunately, we didn't reflect on the Old Testament judges, kings, prophets, and martyrs, including Daniel, Elijah, Isaiah, the widow of Zarephath, and the saintly mother of the Maccabean brothers, who saw all seven of her sons die in a single day. In 40 short verses, Hebrews chapter 11 is the greatest Cliff Notes version of the entire Old Testament that I have ever seen. So, after finishing chapter 11, St. Paul begins chapter 12 of his letter to the Hebrews with these words: "Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses," and now the opening line of today's second reading makes sense. It doesn't begin with "brothers and sisters." It starts with "therefore." Therefore, therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, meaning all of those characters, all of those faithful souls mentioned in chapter 11, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Joseph, Moses, David, Isaiah, Elijah, and so forth. As you know, St. Paul uses a lot of athletic analogies and sport similes in his preaching. Hebrews chapter 12 begins with all the biblical characters throughout of history pictured in a crowded stadium like the Colosseum or the Circus Maximus in Rome. And all of these beautiful, brave souls are cheering us on, urging the believers on to victory. It's a perfect reading for All Saints Day, even though we never read it on All Saints Day. We could add a whole host of other saints from the past 2,000 years, and most especially our Blessed Mother, whose glorious assumption into heaven we celebrated last Friday. The saints are in the stadium as our greatest cheerleaders, looking down on us from heaven, interceding for the faithful who are still running the race to heaven. This is how the reading begins. "Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses cheering us on, let us rid ourselves of every weight of sin that clings to us." Another athletic metaphor. Just as athletes don't want any excess weight on their bodies for bicycling or swimming or sprinting, we don't want the weight of sin on our souls as we are running our race, hoping to win the real prize, not a purple grand champion ribbon at the Steele County Free Fair, but the prize of eternal life in heaven. Just as a runner must shed every weight to run faster, we can obviously run more quickly to heaven without the weight of sin on our shoulders. You know, when I was attending Catholic grade school and high school in Austin, Minnesota, I had to walk a mile to school. Of course, it was uphill both ways. And as I walked to school, I had this backpack full of heavy, heavy books on my back. And now you know why I have such bad posture. It wasn't until I was in high school that my dad finally told me, "Leave your books at home. Leave your books at home." Why didn't he tell me that earlier? I might have been standing up straight. What a weight. What a weight was removed from my shoulders, literally. Heavenly Father wants to remove the weight of sin from our souls, and so he sends us his only Son to be our Savior. Let us rid ourselves of every weight of sin that weighs us down, that clings to us like static electricity, difficult to shake it. We can't do it on our own. Our merciful Savior has provided a way to rid ourselves of every burden of sin that clings to us. Of course, it's the sacrament of penance. That's where, by the power of his glorious death and resurrection, he removes the weight of our sins. So if you're weighed down by unforgiveness, resentment, hatred, jealousy, greed, pride, lust, whatever it is, then confess your sins to a priest in the sacrament of penance. In your struggle against sin, you have not yet resisted to the point of shedding blood. Those are convicting words. When St. Dominic Savio made his first Holy Communion at the age of 7, he made 4 resolutions. And the last resolution was death, but not sin. Little 7-year-old Dominic Savio, he said he'd rather die than offend God. Unfortunately, I usually say sin, but not death. What we're really saying is, I'd rather offend God than die. I'd rather die in my soul than die in my body. Not St. Dominic Savio. He says death, but not sin. Every martyr said, I would rather die than deny God. In your struggle against sin, you have not yet resisted to the point of shedding blood. Convicting words for today. Therefore, St. Paul says, let us rid ourselves of every weight of sin that clings to us and persevere in running the race that lies before us. Persevere in running the race. It's a long distance race to heaven. It's a marathon. It's not a short sprint. Endurance, perseverance is necessary to keep moving toward the finish line of heaven. Let us persevere in running the race that lies before us, while keeping our eyes fixed on Jesus, the leader and perfecter of faith. Just as a runner keeps his eyes fixed on the finish line, so too the believer keeps his eyes on Jesus, the leader and perfecter of our faith. Did you ever get an email from Father Joshua when he was here last year? Do you know how he signs every email? Every email that he writes, right before he signs his name, what does he say? Eyes on Jesus. Where do you think he got that from? Today's second reading. Hebrews 12:2. Eyes on Jesus. Keep your eyes on the light of Jesus. Like the captain of a great sailboat, keeping his eyes on the lighthouse on the shore. Keep your eyes on Jesus. He endured the cross. He endured opposition from sinners so that you may not grow weary or lose heart. Those last verbs, those words used in Greek, are used by an athlete who collapses to the ground after he has run past the finish line. So St. Paul is saying, don't give up. Don't collapse before you reach the finish line. Don't grow weary and lose heart. How? Keeping your eyes fixed on Jesus, the leader and perfecter of our faith. Isn't today's second reading a perfect reading to put on your screensavers and your marquees and your bulletin boards at school? Oh, if only my marquee worked out at St. Mary's School on Oak Street. Wouldn't that be great? Hundreds of cars could drive by and read Hebrews 12:2, eyes on Jesus. They could read Hebrews 12:3, don't grow weary or lose heart. They could read Hebrews 12:1, let us rid ourselves of every weight of sin. If you keep a journal of inspirational scripture quotations, I would suggest that you include the first 4 verses of Hebrews chapter 12, our second reading today. That's why we faithful runners come to Mass Sunday after Sunday after Sunday. So that surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, we are inspired to keep our eyes fixed on Jesus in order that we do not grow weary or lose heart.